Welcome back to Backbone Radio. Ross Kaminsky in the studio, 303-696-1971. I was just looking at the weather forecast up by my house. I live in the mountains outside of Boulder. We've got a winter storm warning from Tuesday afternoon to Tuesday evening to Wednesday afternoon. They're saying I might get between 8 and 16 inches of snow. Unbelievable. Denver, they're talking about accumulations in excess of 6 inches will be possible. So be careful this coming Tuesday night and Wednesday. Be prepared. I guess I better go out and make sure I've got enough milk and food and stuff for the kids and the dog and the wife in case we get snowed in. I've got this plow for the front of my ATV, so I plow my own driveway, but my driveway is nearly a quarter mile long, so when we start getting, you know, 16 inches of snow, that's a problem. Anyway, I was talking to you a little bit before the break about Herman Cain's betting odds at intrade.com. He's dropped down to just below 7%. Following that debate, and I'll have a story about this at the American Spectator website tomorrow. I hope you'll go take a look at spectator.org. And by the way, I should mention again in my moment of shameless self-promotion that my website is rossputin.com, rossputin.com. And also, the show's website is backboneradio.net. If you ever want to check out what's coming up on Sunday's show, I usually have a promo for Sunday's show up by around dinner time on Friday, so anytime on the weekend, if you go to backboneradio.net, you'll see what's coming up. And you can also sign up for the Backbone update, the email update, so it'll show up in your email box what's coming up. Now, following that debate, and this is in my article on Spectator, American Spectator's website tomorrow, betting odds have changed remarkably little for all of these guys. I mean, Romney was between 66 and 67% in betting odds to get the nomination a week ago, and he's still there. Perry was between 14 and 15% a week ago. He's still there. Herman Cain, maybe a couple tenths below where he was a week ago now, although he was higher for a while after the debate. Newt Gingrich actually has had the most significant move. He's moved up from about 2.5% to about 3.1%. John Huntsman hasn't moved. He's still 2.5%. Ron Paul still 2.5%. Michelle Bachmann still 1.2%. And Rick Santorum still about 0.5%, which is pretty close to former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who isn't even running, and pretty close to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who nobody knows is running. So I don't know. I think Rick Santorum should be out of this. And I'll be sort of glad to see him go. I mean, he's pretty predictable at this point, and he doesn't have any chance of winning anything. And I think that we need to start filtering candidates out of these debates, candidates who really are truly not viable, so that the candidates who are viable, so that we can hear more from them and decide among the candidates who really have a chance. Unfortunately, even though I do like Michelle Bachmann, I think that she will fall into this category soon as well, simply cannot win. And I think it's time to start slowly but surely eliminating candidates from debates so that we get down to people who really can win this nomination. Now, if you watch what's been happening over the past weeks, you know, Mitt Romney, not just past weeks, past several months, actually, Mitt Romney has been pretty stable. Now, he's been creeping up in the betting odds substantially. But in terms of the national polling numbers, he's been kind of low 20s for months, more or less, in terms of his polling across the nation. Now, but what's happened during that time is other candidates who Republican voters, Republican activists, you know, those likely to participate in Republican primaries, we're looking for some candidate who we think is maybe more principled than Mitt Romney. And so you have people following, supporting, briefly, Tim Pawlenty, who then got out, then Mitch Daniels, who never got in. A lot of people wanted Sarah Palin. She didn't get in. Rick Perry. Rick Perry jumped up to be the instant front runner when he announced to be in the race. He went up to something like 38% in the national polls, and I think some similar number in betting odds. Actually, I'll look that up while we're talking here. And has since just plummeted down. Yeah, that's right. He got up to He got up to a high in the betting odds of 40.8%, but it was mostly around 38. And now he's back down around 14.5, which is kind of where he was before he officially announced. So who else? A lot of people wanted Chris Christie to run. He jumped up in the betting odds. I bet that he wasn't going to run, and he didn't. Other people have wanted Congressman Paul Ryan to run, and he didn't. You get the idea. Everybody's looking for someone other than Mitt Romney to be the Republican candidate because people think that Mitt Romney is just basically they think he's a liberal or a moderate at best, and that he's got his finger to the wind, and that he takes too many positions that really aren't conservative, such as leaving room in his mind for there being man-made global warming. I think that's very unlikely. Beyond that, he wants to offer capital gains tax relief only to people who make less than $200,000 a year, which is to say people who are less likely to actually have capital gains income than the higher income earners who have had the opportunity to save money and put away investments and thus have a chance for capital gains. And, you know, I think, gosh, one of the most disappointing things I've ever heard out of Mitt Romney's mouth, and I've heard a few, was during this past Tuesday's debate when Rick Perry brought up this ridiculous charge that Mitt Romney had some illegal aliens mowing his lawn, as if that has anything to do with anything. But, of course, Rick Perry feels very much at risk on the issue of immigration because Rick Perry supported and still supports his state's passage of a law that gives in-state tuition benefits to illegal aliens in his state. And I'm not going to get into debating that issue tonight. My point is that Rick Perry feels at risk on the immigration topic. So during the debate on Tuesday, he said to Mitt Romney, "Yes, we have magnets in this country bringing illegal aliens. And Mitt Romney, you're a perfect example of that because you had illegal aliens mowing your yard." I mean, it was just so petty and petulant and stupid and irrelevant. And of course, that's the reason Rick Perry isn't going anywhere. But Mitt Romney said, you know, I had this outside company was mowing my lawn. They promised me they didn't have illegals. When I found out they did have illegals, I fired the company and said, "I'm running for office for Pete's sake. I can't have illegals working for me." Seriously? The reason that you didn't, the reason that you opposed having illegals mowing your lawn was because you were running for office? What does that say about you, Mitt Romney, in terms of principle? You know, I could live with him saying, "I fired him because I don't want illegal aliens in this country. I don't want them working on property." I could even live with him saying that I didn't want to fire them because I got the best company and, you know, this is who they have working for them and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's not the best answer. The best answer is you don't want illegal aliens working in this country for a variety of reasons. Although I have to say I do buy the argument that these people are doing jobs that Americans won't do. In any case, Mitt Romney didn't say any of that. He said, "I can't have illegal aliens working for me because I'm running for office." Now that was, I think, the single biggest unforced error of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign so far. Now, it hasn't hurt him very much in betting odds. He's dropped maybe from 67% or something like that to 66.5%. I can tell you the high that he's traded in the betting odds is 70%. That was very brief. Mostly he's been around 67%. And I also would say, let you know that I actually sold some Mitt Romney at 66.6% earlier today. He's basically been trading between 66 and 68 for most of the past week and a half. But I just think that part of what's going on here is that Mitt Romney has this air of inevitability about him. And because the Republican Party frequently makes the mistake of just choosing the guy who's next in line, you know, the guy whose turn it is. And that gave us Bob Dole, that gave us John McCain. It gives us these guys who are perfectly nice guys, but bad candidates. Now, Mitt Romney, I actually think, is a much better candidate than Bob Dole or John McCain. I think he's much more likely to beat Barack Obama than either of those guys would be if they were running this year or next year, technically. But he just you know, he's changed his mind on so many issues. He's changed his mind on abortion, back to that, right? He's got these populist sounding positions. He's been very aggressive in his rhetoric against China, which is good politics but terrible economics. And people just don't trust him. People just don't trust that Mitt Romney is anything other than a cool, calculating politician with great hair. You know, my wife thinks he looks like someone out of Madame Tussauds wax museum. And maybe he does. Now, the other side of this coin, though, is how much do Republicans care about beating Barack Obama versus having the most principled possible candidate? I care a lot about beating Barack Obama. And at the end of the day, if it came down to, and I talk about this all the time on this show and elsewhere, if it came down to my having to choose between a Mitt Romney, who I think is not particularly principled, but quite likely to beat Barack Obama, and then some other candidate who I think is much more principled, but maybe not so likely to beat Barack Obama, and Herman Cain is starting, you know, it started to seem like Herman Cain could beat Barack Obama, and a couple of the polls showed that in recent days, but he's fallen fast now with all his backtracking and flip-flopping on abortion and negotiating with terrorists and all this stuff. I really like Herman Cain. I wish that he were more confident in his positions, that he gave the right answer the first time. So if it comes down to picking someone like Herman Cain, who I think might be a little, you know, 50-50 to beat Obama, versus Mitt Romney, who I think is quite likely to beat Obama, I'm probably going to have to go with Romney and hope that a more conservative Congress keeps him in line. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm talking so much about Herman Cain. I got a letter from listener Gar Potter, who won a copy of The Law during one of my trivia questions, which I didn't do this week. I'll try to do a trivia question next week. And he said in his P.S., be nice to Palin and Cain. Oh, well, sorry, Gar. I'm not trying to be mean to Cain. I really like Herman Cain, and I do like the, as you just heard in that teaser from Hugh Hewitt, that Cain brings straight talk and positive attitude, but he's drifting away from that straight talk out of political necessity, no doubt, out of political necessity. But the fact that he's backtracking, going back and forth this much on abortion is really not going to serve him well in Republican politics. It's not going to serve him well in Iowa. It's not going to serve him well in South Carolina. And I don't think he had much chance in New Hampshire anyway. But we'll see. He also did well in a Nevada poll, or I should say Nevada. People from there don't like it being called Nevada. He did well in a poll in Nevada a couple of days ago. But again, this back and forth on abortion, in a way, it kind of makes life easier for Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney is perceived by many conservative voters as having flip-flopped. I mean, not just perceived. I mean, Mitt Romney was pro-choice when he ran to be governor of Massachusetts. He's changed his mind. I don't know whether he's really changed his mind or he's just done it for politics. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And he says that he is anti-abortion now and would support laws that ban abortion. But he's widely perceived as having flip-flopped on that issue, for good reason, much better reason actually than Herman Cain. And so for Herman Cain to come out and now kind of take these bullets, flip-flopping on abortion, will actually make life much easier for Mitt Romney when people are trying to decide what to do. Because let's say Herman Cain ends up being one of the last few serious contenders for this, and you know, say you're sitting around in your caucus or you're standing in the ballot booth for your primary and you're thinking about it and you're thinking, well, I really like I could go with Romney. I think he's fairly likely to beat Obama, but he flip-flopped on abortion. Then you think, you know what, Herman Cain did too. Maybe it's just not as big or not as unusual a thing as I think. Now, Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, some of these other Republican candidates, there's no doubt they've never flip-flopped on the issue of abortion in any way, as far as I can tell. Certainly not Bachmann and Santorum. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But those candidates aren't viable. Rick Perry, I think he's been a lot more consistent on that issue. But Rick Perry is, in my mind, it's stunning that he's still trading, you know, over 14%. I simply think that the world recognizes that if Rick Perry were in a debate with Barack Obama, even with Barack Obama not having a teleprompter, Rick Perry would just get destroyed in a debate. So I'm really, you know, a lot of people, I think part of the reason Rick Perry is still trading as high as he is in the betting odds is that he brought in a lot of money in the third quarter. He brought in more money than any other candidate, but much of that money was raised much earlier in the quarter, and his fundraising has kind of fallen off since then. But a lot of people seem to think that he has enough money in the bank to stay in the race and hope that Mitt Romney makes a mistake and he'll keep attacking Romney and all that sort of thing. So my guess is that what will happen is that these candidates will all go after each other and they'll all go after Romney and they'll end up hurting each other fairly badly and then making it so that we get a substantially weakened Republican candidate when it comes to the general election. Now, of course, there is a flip side to that, as there is with everything in politics, and that is the candidate who gets tested pretty hard in the primary should be more, you know, battle-hardened when it comes to having to debate Barack Obama. So it's not all bad that these guys are a little tough on each other, but they should do so in a relatively respectful way and in a way that emphasizes the difference between them without giving too much ammunition to the Democrats. A couple other things I wanted to mention to you in the few minutes we have left in this evening's edition of Backbone Radio. There's an interesting story that coming from the biography of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs warned Barack Obama, and this is quoting from actually the Australian newspaper, but the same story is everywhere these days, that Steve Jobs told Barack Obama that Obama would be a one-term president if he didn't adopt more business-friendly policies. And these are according to excerpts from the upcoming Steve Jobs biography. It's funny, I guess Steve Jobs had a pretty big ego, and I guess he earned one, right? But he almost didn't go meet Obama because the invitation didn't come directly from the president. And according to the book, Jobs relented when his wife said that Obama, quote, was really psyched to meet with you. I guess they had dinner at a San Francisco airport hotel, and Jobs told Obama, you're heading for a one-term presidency, that Jobs was, quote, infuriated by Obama's constant focus on the reason things could not get done, and Jobs warned Obama that, quote, regulations and unnecessary costs, end quote, were hindering manufacturing in the U.S., describing how his company could build a factory in China much more easily than in California, where Apple is based. It's also interesting. Jobs apparently offered to help Obama craft the advertising and marketing part of Obama's 2012 campaign, and he made the same offer in 2008, but became annoyed when Obama strategist David Axelrod wasn't totally deferential. Well, Steve Jobs isn't around to defend himself on these charges anymore. Nevertheless, it seems it's clear that it's coming out in the biography of Steve Jobs that he told Barack Obama that Barack Obama would be a one-term president if he didn't become more business-friendly, and I do think that that will end up being an accurate and prescient prediction. One other thing I want to mention to you in the moments we have left. Some of you have heard the story. Bo Brownstein, who is the son of a big Democrat mover and shaker in Denver, he pled guilty. He pled guilty to insider trading. He made about $2.5 million trading on insider information on a takeover of Mariner Energy. Now, Bo Brownstein also traded in his father's account. Apparently, his father wasn't aware of it. Brownstein, like his father, is a big supporter of Democrats, and Bo Brownstein has given money to Ed Perlmutter, gave him $1,111. Gave money to the Colorado Democratic Party, gave money to Betsy Markey, gave money to Michael Bennett, gave money to Patrick Kennedy's campaign and Randy Altshuler's campaign. Those are not Colorado races. Gave only $200 to Barack Obama and gave $2,300 to Hillary Clinton. back in 2008. All of those were were not recent contributions. Still, it will be interesting to see whether any of these people feel a need to kind of donate to charity, whatever amount was given to them by Bo Brownstein. The contributions were made, though, I should say, before Brownstein made that money due to insider trading. Anyway, just more Democrats behaving badly. That's been another great addition, in my view, of Backbone Radio. Boy, that interview with Christian Adams, just fantastic. Listen to the podcast again if you didn't hear all of it in the 6 o'clock hour. Penn Fiffner, thanks to Penn Fiffner and Two Taxing Colorado for his take on why we should all vote against Proposition 103. Make sure you do that. Vote against 103. Get your ballot in. Tell your friends the deadline is next Tuesday. Until next time, from all of us on Backbone Radio, Ross Kaminsky signing off.